What is different there? What is their mission?
You know, Eileen, this is really a remarkable story of a traditional Buffalo public school that is doing very well under the new Common Core standards. You know, just by way of background, they're one of the top performing on the state assessments. The only schools that outperform it are the criterion-based schools, where you need to meet certain requirements for admission, and a handful of charter schools. They actually beat some of the higher performing suburban districts as well at certain grade levels. So, you know, the history of the school is it was one of the original turnaround models in the city of Buffalo. It came out of two schools that, like we see now, were struggling to meet state standards. And so what the district opted to do at the time was fold them into one school that's K to 8. They brought in a dynamic principal who really came in with a plan, went to Albany, learned about the new standards that were coming online, came back, studied them, worked with his team, built a leadership team, looked at the data that they were dealing with, and really just planned, got individual plans together for their students, and when the school opened in 2011, hit the ground running.
And tell us a little bit about the principal, Gregory Mott. What is his philosophy on this and the success of what's happening inside the school?
There's a culture of high expectations, and that touches a lot of different areas. Some of that comes in routine. The first time I visited the school, I think I went at 7:30 in the morning when the buses were arriving, because he thought it was very important to show me the orderly way that students even start school in the morning. You know, they really reinforce to the students kind of the routines, the structures, that eliminates behavior issues. And the philosophy behind that is every minute that you spend changing classes in the halls, getting settled in the morning, getting ready for dismissal, that's time that you could be learning. So it's a way to maximize the time. And as I mentioned, it's also a way to curtail behavior problems, because if students are focused and kind of constantly moving throughout their day and they know what's expected of them and they know what they need to do to meet those expectations, they're not acting out. So that's also a way to reinforce learning in the classroom.
Tiffany, if you can, why can't they use this model at other city schools, especially ones that are struggling so much that are deemed failures?
You know, they really could. And it's interesting because, and in my years covering education, one of the things I found is some of the most successful schools and districts, they're not doing anything magical. It's really just kind of knowing best practices and maximizing them. You know, using them and also getting your staff on board. That is one thing that does seem to set successful schools apart, is you have dynamic leadership. You have people who come in with a very clear vision of what they want to do. They're willing to take some risks. They're willing to figure out ways to get things done, which, you know, sometimes may or may not involve support from central office. You know, and they know how to kind of rally their staff around a goal. And, you know, that can be tricky in some places. But if you have someone like that who can kind of drive the train with people on board, you know, you can start to see those results.
One of the things I noted in their mission statement said, accompanied by the ability to modify instruction to meet the diverse learning needs of students. How can they adopt that?
One of the interesting things about the school is it's very successful, and it does have a unique population because it's one of the highest poverty schools in the district. 94% of the students qualify for free or reduced lunch, and they also have about 27% of their students are students with disabilities. So that in and of itself is a unique population that requires teachers to modify their instruction sometimes. And really looking at not just the overall performance, but every question, every skill, and kind of tailoring that lesson plan. And you see them doing that in Grabiar's. I was in one classroom, for example, with a teacher, and they have a math coach who kind of floats around and assists in the classrooms and targets the kids who need the most help. And in this one classroom, just the way the classroom was structured, the students who needed the most assistance with that particular lesson were seated at particular tables. So when the coach came in, she knew exactly where to go to kind of monitor what they were working on and see if they needed extra help. And the students don't know any different because they're constantly being kind of shuffled around in these groups based on where they are at that moment of time. But it's a tool for the staff to kind of be able to, you know, drop in and help out when they might be needed.
What else did you see that might have been eye-opening or a change from what you've witnessed in other Buffalo schools and perhaps even in your work in other districts?
Well, you know, I will say, and I know there's probably a lot of people out there that will kind of be frowning or rolling their eyes at this, but they really did take the Common Core seriously. And I think I've seen all over the state, you have districts and schools that maybe thought it was going to go away, maybe didn't really prepare adequately for it. The reality is at this moment, they are the standards that schools are being held to. And, you know, at Grabiar's, this principal knew that this is what was coming, and he knew if he was not performing at that level, they were just going to end up back on one of these state lists again. So, as I mentioned, he went to Albany, met with leaders, studied the curriculum, got some teachers on board. He even had teachers who volunteered to pilot the new Common Core in their classrooms before kind of the official rollout to test it out and see, you know, what worked with students, what didn't, how can we adapt this so our students get it. You know, and they said it's not always easy. It's kind of a work in progress. You might have a group of students that needs to spend much longer on a particular lesson than the state recommends or thinks. So you need to figure out how can we adjust in other areas. Maybe there's another unit they just fly through and you don't need to even spend as much time on. So, you know, that's something that I think that school did at a much higher level than, quite frankly, others in Buffalo and really across the state.
What about enrollment? Is there a waiting list?
I don't believe there's a waiting list. A couple people, as I've reported the story, have kind of referred to it as the district's hidden gem. This is a school you don't hear a lot about. It's not a City Honors. It's not, you know, an Olmsted or even an Emerson. I don't think a lot of people know that this school's out there and that they're performing at this level. But I think people are starting to realize that because they have had consistent success now for a few years. Now, there is kind of the to be sure, results still aren't great. They're not great really anywhere in this, you know, under the new standards. But one of the things I thought was interesting is even with the tougher standards, at certain grade levels, Grabiar's is actually doing better than they were a few years ago under the old standards. So it seems like they are moving in the right direction. And if they can continue on that trajectory, I think you'll start to see some strong success in coming years.
And it certainly shows that it's a possible model that can be followed and used in these other city schools.
Right. And, you know, Jim Sampson, I spoke with him for the story. He's visited there. He's very impressed with the school. And, you know, you see a lot of conversation on the board right now about these turnaround models and looking at charter schools and looking out of, you know, out of district and all these different models. And you do have one here that has shown it can be successful with Buffalo students. And I think there is a little bit of an awareness now that maybe there's some lessons we can pull from that school and apply in other places.
And the thing that's really stands out, too, is you mentioned the amount of students that are living in poverty that are attending that school.
Absolutely. And, you know, the staff there, I think that's something they're very proud of. You don't need to have certain grades or test into the school. They take anybody. You know, and as I mentioned, that population of students with disabilities can be very challenging. But they, you know, the doors are open. Anyone can go there. And they take the students that they have and they really figure out how to tailor their lessons to meet their needs.
Tiffany Lankus, Buffalo News education reporter, thank you so much for coming in and sharing your story.
Thanks for having me.